Welcome. And Merry Christmas again. It's good to be with you tonight. I'm excited for what God has us. This is actually the sixth part in our eight-part series, Why Church? And this would be our Christmas segment, really, tonight. We're going to talk about why a baby in a manger. And I'm looking forward to this. I trust God has something for each of us in this, and I look forward to to what that might be. Excuse me. So at Christmas time, we won't actually have a service on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. We just want to encourage all of you to be with your loved ones. We want you to be with your loved ones. And so this will be our Christmas message. And as I've prayed about it and thought about it, I'm humbled. Why a baby in a manger? I know God, and my relationship with Him is more precious to me than anything. And as I think about why a baby in a manger, there's a few thoughts that I've compiled, but really, it's just a love affair with God and His love affair with us and what He wants for us and as we grow and try to learn from Him. You know, over 2,000 years ago, the angels announced what we read from the Bible today in Luke 2:11. This is what is written. Luke chapter 2 verse 11. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's true today. For today in the city of David, so the angels announced this, and that's what's recorded. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, here's a picture of a little baby, you know, pretty helpless estate, I would say. What a helpless position our God chose to rule the world from. As a baby, a little tiny baby, born in a manger. Something that was typically used for animals to eat out of. So the King of the universe, the Creator of the universe, shows up on earth as a little tiny, helpless, defenseless baby in a manger where animals usually eat. You know, He's God. He could reign however He wanted. God could. This is what He decided. You know, it seems like it'd be maybe more appropriate if He came like a king on His horse with all of His riders. It seems like that would make more sense, riding in to take His rightful seat on the throne. It's like maybe if I were God, that might be how I would show up. But no, He chose to come just as a little baby. Or maybe He might have come as Aslan. You know? The main character of C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia series, Lewis often capitalizes the word lion in reference to Aslan, since he represents Jesus. C.S. Lewis described Aslan as the alternative version of Christ, that is, as the form in which Christ might have appeared in a fantasy world. God could have come to the earth like this. He could come any way He wants. Or He could have come like this. Many of you might recognize Blake Treerise, and I asked his permission to use this photo. God could have done this. He could have come as Blake. And he's our brother, and we love Blake. And, you know, in some ways, we laugh at that, but God lives in Blake. The Holy Spirit lives in Blake. So in some ways, as we interact with Blake, we're interacting with God. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He could have come in just an astounding bright light. God could have come like that, you know. What can we really handle as humans? How can God come? How can we interact? How can we know Him? How would we you know, humanity respond to this bright light. Maybe that's how he'll return. He's promised that he will return. And maybe when he returns in the Bible, we see some hints of maybe something like this. I don't know. But when he chose to come to the earth, the new covenant, he came as a little baby. You know, he could have come as Jesus and angels. He could have come, and that seems like that would have been appropriate for all the angels and Jesus to show up on the earth. Here we are, the Savior of the world. Here we are to take our rightful place. But that's not how he came. It may even seem rightful for him to come in maybe something like this, a horse with lightning in his hand. The warrior king arrives. I don't know, in some ways, in my mind, that would make more sense. My warrior king is here to take care of all the problems in the world. You know, I've been blessed in my life, and even this last week, you know, I have two precious grandchildren. I love them so much, and they're amazing little fellas, I'll tell you what. But I'm reminded of how incredibly fragile human life is. I was at Caleb and my daughter Kelsey's house when Henry was born. He's the little guy there. He's less than a week old. He'll be a week old tomorrow. And I held him pretty soon after his birth that same day. And oh my goodness, he's just so fragile. A little, tiny, helpless baby. Here he is at 2 days old. That's his two-day birthday. And I was holding him there, and I Instagrammed. That was my picture. Really, you know, he's completely dependent on his mom and dad. I mean, I don't even know if he's really all that safe with grandpa and grandma at this point, really. He needs to be with mom and dad, and there's things that could happen. He could get sick. It's just so fragile and vulnerable and innocent. And God chose to come to the earth as a baby. He chose this approach. You know, in many ways, we are a reflection of him as we live out our lives here on earth. In many ways, we're a reflection of God. We are what he intended. He decided he wanted to create man, so he created us. He wanted us. He wanted to have a relationship with us, so he created us so that we could be in relationship with him. Maybe the more appropriate question would be, why Jesus? This may be the real question we grapple with this holiday season, is why Jesus? Why even bother sending a Savior? What do we need a Savior for? What do we need to be saved from? What's the big deal? Why is everybody so worked up about Christmas? Why is it such a huge celebration? Where do all these songs come from anyway? Why is everybody focused on this Christmas, this idea of a holiday, this Jesus, this baby in a manger? All of the world is at this time just focusing on God. It's his plan. Scripture tells us, and we see the broken world all around us needing a Savior. Scripture tells us our condition. And look around you in the world. Oh my goodness, there's so much need. We need help. A lot of things are broken. Sickness and death and sin have come into the world. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all, like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned from God. Each of us has turned to our own way. It began in the garden, Adam and Eve. The Bible describes the fall in the garden. At one point, mankind decided to refuse God. Adam and Eve said no to God. They turned their backs on God, and sin came into the world. That's not God's original idea. God had a plan. He asked them to go along in his plan for them, and they turned from him. We see that in the Bible as we look at God's word. That's at this church, that's what we believe. This is God's word, and it's God's word, and it spells it out. Started with this tragic event in Genesis. Maybe the most tragic and horrible events of all time. The fall in the garden. And it moved on even to Noah's time. God reveals his wrath. We know the story of Noah on an ungodly people. His people were turning from him. They were refusing God. So God decided at this moment, as we read through Noah's story, to start over. So in his wrath, he floods the earth. Everyone perishes except for Noah and his family. So God's like rebooting. This is because mankind, we have a tendency to turn away from God. And a sin nature in us, we're born with that. We turn away from God ever since Adam and Eve. And even with this astronomic display of power from the flood, and that really happened, and afterwards man started to repopulate the earth again, it really happened, and before long, even after that demonstration, man started to turn away from God. God gave us a rainbow, and he promised, I'm never going to flood the earth again. I'm not going to do that again. Thank you, Lord. But we tend to turn away from God, and we go out through Scripture, and we see it time after time. It just seems to be a story of a person falling here and doing this. In the Tower of Babel, where a whole people group, in their efforts of working, they wanted to work hard and build their way to heaven. That was the idea, that they could build their way to heaven. They could do it themselves. The civilization at Babel was technologically ingenious, yet self-promoting and God-defying. The great sin of Babel was not, as some think, that people were trying to get to God. They were trying to be God. Rather than filling the earth with the glory of God's name, they wanted to magnify their own supposed greatness. The Lord stooped, came down to see their tall ambitions, and he effortlessly ended them in confusion. He just stopped it. Remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai? He went up and met with God. God invited him up to meet. And Moses went up and met with God. And when he came back, all the people that he was leading, all the people that he was trying to lead, they had taken their gold and they'd made a golden calf and they were worshiping it. Can you imagine being Moses, that leader? How heartbroken he must have been. He meets with God, he comes back down the hill, and all the people have turned. He's gone for a while, and now all of a sudden everyone's worshiping idols. Moses was furious. He threw down the tablets, they broke. He actually ended up grinding up the golden idol and making the people drink it. People just have a tendency to turn away from God. We see it in the Old Testament in the kings. Many of the kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, they're all made great by God. They were. God raised them up. He made them great only to stumble. And many of the kings that followed these great kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, they would fail to follow the ways of the Lord. And people group and generation after generation fell in defiance of God. And it continues to this day. We see it all around us to this day. People deny God. It's tragic. In Romans chapter 3, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, now we enter the New Testament, continuing in our sin against a holy God. And that is why we need Jesus. We need a Savior. We've all sinned. We have all sinned. And yes, that includes me, and that includes you. The Bible is clear that for all have sinned. That does not exclude you. All have sinned against this holy God. And it's like falling short of a target. We miss the mark. God's mark is perfection. We have a holy creator that loves us, that created us, and he's perfect. And we, in our effort to get to him, we miss the mark. Actually, sin is an old archery term, and that's what it describes, is missing the mark. That's what sin describes. It's missing the mark. In our thoughts and actions and our words, we fall short of God's perfect standards. In mankind, we do, and we tend to turn from God. Even our thoughts are judged by God. So I would just ask you, if you were to be judged by the Ten Commandments today, would you be found guilty? Have you lied ever? Have you sinned ever? Have you been angry or hated anyone? The Bible actually says that's the same as murder. If you think that way in your mind, or if you think lustfully after a man or a woman, that's the same as committing adultery with her. That's sin. And that separates us from God. We miss the mark. We fall short of God's perfect standards. So that's our poor estate. That's the condition that we find ourselves in. That's why we need a Savior. And God so loved us, he knows us, he created us, he knows that we need him. So he answers our call, and that's what we're celebrating now. Why Jesus? Because God loves us. In 1 John 4:14 it says, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." It has happened. God did it. God arrived as a baby in a manger, and that's what we're celebrating. This is good news. It's something to get excited about. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah for years and years and years. They went through all these traditions and trying to be perfect, and they couldn't. And they were prophesying about the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah. The King will come. The Messiah will come. And the Jews were anxiously excitedly waiting. They knew that was going to happen. That was how they were raised. Their parents would drill that into their head, that the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. And then he shows up in a baby in a manger, and many of them just missed it. They just missed it. And John says, "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." It happened. It happened. It has happened. I like this verse from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. This is before Jesus ever came, years before he ever came. This was prophesied. This was foretold. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." So why a baby in a manger? You see, this just artist's depiction of Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus. I personally think Mary might be a little more disheveled if she just gave birth, but this is a nice artist's rendition. He came this way so that we can know him. In reality, mankind ripped this baby from Mary's hands. This little baby grew up as a man. He grew up as a child, just like you and I. He was a baby in a manger. He was a 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old. He went through adolescence. He experienced many of the temptations that we experience. Human pain, cold, warmth, heat. All the things that we went through, that we experienced, Jesus experienced, tasting things. emotions. He went through the same things we did. Even though he's fully man and fully God. And really what put him on the cross, it's as if we took that little baby and put him on the cross with our sins, with my lies, with your lies, with our thievery, with our sin against our holy God. In many ways, we took this baby from Mary's hands and put him on a cross. Something had to be done for the sins of the world. So God himself answered it in the Savior, in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's God's response to us. Why Jesus? Because God loves us so much, he gave of himself. Jesus, the baby Jesus, is fully man, fully God. He came to this earth for a specific purpose, and that was to take on the sins of the world. The debt that we could not pay, Christ paid for us. He took on the sins of the world. That's what it says in the Bible. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's Jesus. Eventually, he would be crucified on a cross. Innocent. Because Jesus led a sinless life and he was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So he substituted himself for us. That's why to this day, we are celebrating Christmas. He did it all. He's the perfect gift. I like what it says in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we'd be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Did you hear that? We'd be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I love Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. So what we've earned, what we deserve is death. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of life. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we think of a gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. He offers it to you. If someone offers you a gift, what do you have to do? What's your role in receiving a gift? You just have to receive it. You just have to take it. And that's what God has done for us. He came to the earth offering us eternal life. He died on the cross for us, and he offers us the free gift of salvation. And oftentimes what people do is, no, I don't want that. I don't believe that. No, I haven't done anything wrong. The truth is we all stand before a holy God guilty. And we need his forgiveness. We need a Savior. And he knows that, and that's why he came. But there's a point where we need to turn to God and repent and ask him into our life and receive his free gift of salvation. Like what it says in John 1:12, as we place our trust in him, it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Yet to all who received him, we are born again. We become children of God. This gift of becoming God's children is available to everyone who receives his forgiveness and believes by repenting and acknowledging that Jesus is God. This is a simple step of receiving his salvation. It's just repenting and turning from sinning against him and asking him to forgive us and to come into our life and acknowledging that he is God. To receive him. And then we are born again, like what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from their sins committed under the first covenant. He paid our ransom. He paid the death penalty that we could not pay. This baby in a manger. In Matthew, he writes his gospel. He recites the Old Testament verse. He quotes it. He says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. We sang that today. Emmanuel, it is God with us. That's what's so exciting. That's what the angels were announcing. God is with us. When they were telling everyone, this baby in a manger is God. God is with us. Emmanuel is with us. Jesus is God, and he is with us. That's what the angels are rejoicing about. That's what all of this is about. That's what Christmas is about. God is with us in the person of Jesus. Jesus is God. That's such good news. I like what it says in the Old Testament in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." You know, his quiet love is acted out in submission to the cross. Quietly, the King of the universe, seems to me he could have done it any way he wanted to, but Jesus, in his quiet love for us, submitted to the Father, and he took on the sins of the world. All the murder, all the rape, all the lying, all the dishonoring parents, all of the sins of the world, he took on himself as the Savior of the world. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy, but he will be quiet in his love. What a beautiful example. Why a baby in a manger? Because God loves us so much, he gave us himself so we can be with him forever. So we can be with him forever. So I'm just going to end with some scripture that I began with. Read them and hear them freshly with me. In Luke chapter 10, chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. And I just want to add a few thoughts as I read this again to you. "And the angel said unto them," so again, here's the angel letting them know, "Fear not." That's for us as well. You can hear that today. "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." The same thing. I bring you good news. You need to listen. I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news of great joy. Not just a little bit of joy that cracks a smile on your face, but great joy. Of great joy. I bring you good news of great joy. His name is Jesus, which shall be to all people. This is incredible. Which shall be to all people. I don't care what your estate is tonight, what you've been through, what you've done in your life. You may think some of the things you've done are just too horrible for God to forgive. But he remembers them no more. In his quiet love, he remembers your sin no more. He took care of it on the cross. It is gone. For all people, you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to be so good that God will even listen to you. True Christianity is not us looking and working and getting to God. True Christianity is God dying on the cross and doing it all and just extending his hand to us and us taking his hand. It's for all people. Christ died for all. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. This is a report. This happened. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Why a baby in a manger? So we can know him. You can know him. That's why he came that way. So you can know him. Fear not. Christ is born. That's why Christmas is so exciting. Nothing else. Jesus did it all. Accept his free gift today. If you haven't, I would love to talk to you about that. We can talk further about this idea of what Jesus has done for you. He's done it all. He wants you to know that now. He wants everyone to know that. You know, next week, we're going to continue on with our series. It'll be part six, Why Grace. And tonight, I'm just gonna end with a prayer. And I invite you to come to this next week. It'll bless your life, especially if you're just starting on this new journey between you and Jesus. If you're just starting to figure things out, keep learning, keep yearning, keep striving to be with the Lord. He did it all for you. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to just sing a few more songs together, some Christmas songs tonight. But I just want to say Merry Christmas and God bless you. Father God, I love you. I just thank you that you did. You came completely helpless as a baby. You came into poverty. You're born in a manger, Lord. And I can relate to you. I can know you. I can read about you. I can understand that you understand me, that you've experienced a lot of things that I've experienced and that you love me and you care for me, Lord, so much that you died on a cross for mankind. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Father God, I just praise you for that. I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray tonight you just really point them to you. I don't know what that might look like, Lord. Maybe they might talk to someone here that could tell them more about you, Jesus. You're the one that saves. There's no preacher or no religion that saves. It's you, God. So we ask you to move in this place, Father God. Have your way with us. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.